current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, October 4th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for taking time out of your busy Friday or your busy Monday, Tuesday. You could be listening to our podcast. And so anytime you're listening is the right time to listen to Signs of the Times.
That's right. Always.
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 It's always the right time.
That's right. Always.
Well, welcome back to Pastor Mark. 2 weeks gone.
Yes.
Lost on a motorcycle somewhere in warmer weather.
And it was great. It was great.
Warmer than this weather.
You're going to be lost somewhere, do it on a bike, and be somewhere that's warm.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
And I heard that you rode every ride possible at Disney World.
I did.
All by yourself.
I did, but it was fun. You know, I'll be quick on this because we have a show to do. But yeah. The bottom line is when you go with your family and you whatever, as the dad, you're responsible for everybody. When you go by yourself, you can run and play like a kid, and it's the best. That's all I'm going to say.
That is the best. Yes. Well, anyway, we did say it is October 4th. It is a brand new month. We are already into fall. The last time we spoke to you, we were still in summer. And today, on this day in history, Snoopy made his first appearance ever in 1950.
Check it out.
Now, I know you've got you have a nickname that's related to the Peanuts cartoon.
I do.
Yeah. Just 2 days after the iconic comic strip Peanuts debuted in 7 newspapers, Snoopy made his appearance. According to history, Charles Schulz's inspiration for Snoopy reportedly came from his childhood dog that he named Spike.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't remember Spike, but I knew it was his dog.
You knew it was his dog?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but we know that he didn't do the comic strip after you, but you're named after the comic strip.
Yeah, well, my wife calls me Chuck, based on Charlie Brown. Peppermint Patty calling him Chuck.
Yes.
She's always done that. So if you guys ever hear her call me Chuck,
yes,
that's where it comes from. My name is not Chuck, but she calls me Chuck.
So basically, when you go to kick the football,
yeah,
she takes it out from underneath.
Well, it kind of describes my life. You know, everybody else gets something, I got a rock. Okay. I always get the rock. But the cool thing is, we talked about it, I got the rock. That's all that matters.
That's right.
That's right. Jesus the rock. So
Jesus
good.
Is
That's
the
right.
rock. That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget our website. It's thesigns.org where you can get everything related to our program, including asking Pastor Mark a prophecy question. You can listen to us by podcast and Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. And speaking of podcasts, this is just an interesting statistic. 82.4% of podcast fans listen to 7 or more hours of podcasts each week.
Wow.
That's a
great.
Lot.
Yeah, it is.
So we're glad to be able to make this show
available. And more people are utilizing the show. I mean, they're utilizing our podcast.
They are.
I got just another request yesterday for
Did you?
It, so, yeah, I did.
Fantastic.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, and I know you'll appreciate this. The average man gets bored of shopping just after 26 minutes. Meanwhile, women don't get tired of shopping until around 2 hours.
Wow, he makes it 26 minutes, the average guy?
The average guy makes it 26
I'm
minutes.
I'm like laying down after 5.
After 5.
Yeah, just laying down.
All right. Well... You're looking for those seats in the store
that's right.
Always provide for the guys?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And every store
should
do that.
So we've got our seats here to relax and talk about Bible
prophecy.
Let's
do it. That's
right. Let's get right into it. And what is on your heart is the main theme for this
week.
Well,
as you know, we usually try to pick something on the first half that's just kind of happening to talk about it. And as you know, Greg, this is not a political show. We steer away from that. But when politics gets right in the middle of the Bible, we address things.
Yes.
And what is happening right now in our nation and around the world? Now, I want to expand this. Remember, for you prophecy buffs out there, it's not what's happening in America that matters. It's what's happening in the world. We don't look at one nation and say this is prophecy. We look at the world to see what God's doing. That's how we know really that something's happening prophetically. And what we're watching happen right now with the two major nations that God is working through right now in the world, that is Israel. That's the center of everything. Everything starts with Israel.
Very true.
And then, of course, America is being used because of how God's raised us up and the power God's given us. But Israel is the central focus. And what we're watching happen right now truly is, you know, the Bible says that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. Tells us that in Ephesians. It's manifested, though, in the earthly realm, and oftentimes it's manifested, as you know, through politics. And what we're watching happen, again, Thessalonians says that until the time for the Antichrist to be revealed, God's going to hold everything back. It's amazing to me to watch how everything is being held back by these two major nations, I believe, that God's using right now, Israel always being primary and America being secondary. As you know, they recently had the elections for the second time. In Israel, and let's talk a moment about their elections. I think we need to lay a little bit of groundwork here.
Yeah, because
how this
it's
works.
Really bizarre.
It is, and I want our listeners to understand. I have a general understanding, and I want to share some of that, not an in-depth understanding. They have a parliamentary-type approach in Israel. What that means is they have like maybe 8 to 10 different groups of representatives that want different things done in Israel. Like you have the Arab group, and they represent the Arabs of Israel. You've got the Hasidic or the religious group. You've got the military group. You got all the different groups. And what happens is when you win an election, you have to go to all those different groups and get the majority of them on your side. And when you get the majority of them on your side, you can now form a government. Just because you win doesn't mean you're going to be president, so to speak, or they call him over there prime minister. So when Netanyahu won the last time, which was the election before this one, he wasn't able to get enough of the groups to join him. So the government just couldn't form. So what do they do? They do another election. So they did another election, and that happened, as you know, about a month ago or sometime around there, maybe a little bit more than that now. And once again, it was this split thing between the two different groups. So now, I think Netanyahu barely ahead by the time all was said and done. But neither of them have the ability to get enough groups on their side to form a government. So once again, they're in a tough spot over there. They don't know what's going to happen. But what I'm watching happen here is the tide is slowly turning back toward Netanyahu. And it looks like he may end up getting the prime ministerhood again, if you will. Only time will tell. We'll wait and see on that. But I see this again. Once again, you see the battle intensifying for who's going to run the nation. And again, it's spiritual. This is not physical. Yeah. God is holding back the enemy and keeping those in place that will keep Israel moving in the direction that's more biblical, if you will.
Now, he's still in control. He's still the prime minister of Israel right now.
Yes, they have
an
interim government right now until they decide what they're going to do. And they have a deadline date. Again, they give it a deadline. I think it's maybe 3 months. I forget how long the deadline is. Where something has to be done. Either has to be settled or they do elections again for
again.
A third time.
Wow.
Just to determine who's going to be the next prime minister. Now, the good news about that is that it's obviously better for President Netanyahu or Prime Minister Netanyahu to be in power because he holds more to the biblical foundation. Not a believer, but he believes the Bible. So unsaved Bible believer.
He believes the Old Testament up to Ezekiel 37.
He actually does an Old Testament Bible study at his location, at his residence.
Does he?
Yeah,
wow.
He's involved in one there at his residence. So he's very much a Bible-believing unbeliever. So he's the guy you want in there. The other guy, Gantz, is totally liberal and really more secular, worldly, just, you know, the whole thing, not for Israel. He would kind of help tear Israel apart, whereas Netanyahu will follow God's mandate to hold it together.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think if they do a third election, Netanyahu would win this time because people are over it. And I don't want to go into too many details. There's one main guy right now, Lieberman, who really is on the side of Netanyahu, but he's trying to make a point. He hates religious people. So what he said is, if you're going to use the Hasidim and let them be with you, I'm not going to give you all my parliament power.
Interesting.
So he's holding back Netanyahu from being in there. But what's going to happen is he doesn't want to give it to the liberals either because he knows they're going to turn it over to the Arab power. So he's kind of in the middle trying to do this power play. And what's going to happen is I think his hand's going to be forced.
Yeah.
And I think Lieberman's going to have to push all his power over to Netanyahu, which would make him, again, be able to form a parliament and be the prime minister.
Well, let's talk about the Hasidim just for a second. Because
right, the religious people, Orthodox.
Right, because they add an interesting twist to Israeli politics.
Right.
Because they do not believe, the Hasidim do not believe that they have a right to the land.
Right.
Until their Messiah, Ben David.
Right.
Their Messiah.
Until the Messiah comes.
Shows up, which of course was Jesus, but they think it's going to be, and we know it to be the Antichrist.
Right.
So I would just be very interested to see how that plays into what this guy's beliefs is regarding rights to the land. And, yeah. And is that why he's opposed to the Hasidim so much?
I don't think so. He has opposition to anything to do with God.
Okay.
He really doesn't want God involved in anything in Israel's national politics. And yet he's conservative. So he'd be like an atheist or unsaved conservative, really anti-God conservative. And he's holding the whole thing back. But the problem is, if push comes to shove, I do not believe he's going to push all his power and parliamentary power over to the Arab bloc, because that's going to really shift the power of Israel from where it needs to be in the hands of the Jews, and really even allow the Arab contingency to come into the top secret meetings of their secret service, which means leaks coming out of there go straight to Abbas and the Palestinian
exactly.
Authority and Iran. And
yes.
you can't let that happen.
You can't let that happen.
So I think
yeah.
you're going to see eventually it went over. But my point in all that is yeah. you see God's hand. This is supernatural.
Yes.
God is now shifting things, I think, back to hold things back. Remember Thessalonians, until it's time for the Antichrist to be revealed, God's going to hold this back. Now, I see that in a greater way over in America.
Okay.
Israel's the main focus.
And we're getting ready for another election.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Israel's the main focus. It is. And I believe that God is using America as well to hold back the move of the Antichrist. And it's not about anybody being righteous. As we know, no. we've talked about our president. He's not exactly the most godly man. I think we'd all agree on that.
Yeah.
But he's standing in the right places. And we see God's supernatural hand putting him there, holding him there. And as long as I believe, Greg, until time for, I believe he's even being used to hold back the move of the enemy right now in the world, not just America.
Yeah, in the world, yeah.
In the world because yeah. of the power that we have worldwide.
Yeah.
Now, if we see that shift, that could be a big warning sign. It doesn't mean that if a liberal gets in that now the Antichrist is going to show up on the scene. I'm not saying that. But I believe I can visibly and spiritually see God holding back the enemy right now in the season that we're in. And we talked about it before, almost kind of raising the president up like a Samson. He's not exactly a godly man, but God's using him for his purposes. And to see the wisdom that God's giving him, even under the intense attack he's coming under right now, there's wisdom that to me is supernatural. I don't think that this kind of wisdom could be there just for a normal man. We talked about that before the show. It's something that God does when he's doing something.
Yes.
And you think about the level of toughness that our president has in the face of all this. And we've used the Samson example before.
It's so accurate.
It really is. But also Ezekiel, there's another application I want to make here with Ezekiel. And again,
okay.
I'm not trying to make some argument that our president's super righteous. That's not the
no.
argument.
Mm-mm.
I'm also not making an argument for politics. I'm making a point. We're watching the spiritual battle play out. Remember the ultimate goal of Satan. He wants to control the world. He will have his man in place who will, and we're going to get to an article again about the Pope
yes.
today in the second
yes,
half.
We will.
And we're going to see that whole spirit behind that.
Yes.
There will be a one world leader with a one world government, and he'll be doing everything. But until that time, Thessalonians says that until that time, the Holy Spirit will hold back that move of the Antichrist. He'll hold back that move of Satan. And I believe that you're seeing Netanyahu and our president being used in that part of holding that back temporarily for now. But God, again, what I want our listeners to be aware of is that God gives supernatural power for things he wants to do, and oftentimes even for people that aren't the most godly, like he did for Samson. Very supernatural, but very ungodly. He appeared to be we know he was a womanizer. There are indications that maybe he was a drinker, all kinds of things about where he came from, but God used him. And it was interesting to me when I'm watching all that's happening here and seeing it from a spiritual perspective. Any other leader, I think, would have been destroyed by now. In the political realm with what our president's gone through. That's why I see the hand of God involved in this. And when God spoke to Ezekiel, God was dealing with a nation that was in rebellion to God. And I think we would all agree that a large portion of our nation is in rebellion to God. If not half, maybe more than half. I know there are strong believers. I know the church is making a stand. I know there are those that love God, and we're doing that. We're standing with the Lord. But there is an overall rebellion in our governmental system. And if you question that, just go, did we used to have the Bible in schools? Yeah, it's been removed. Did we used to have the Bible more prevalent in government? Yes, it's been removed. Just look at what's happening, and it becomes evident what's going on.
Yeah.
And yet God says, I will hold things in place until it's time for me to move, and God will raise people up to do that. Listen to what God did with Ezekiel. You had a nation in rebellion, and he says here in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4, then God said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you're not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, that is some other country, but to the house of Israel, that is, I'm sending you to your own nation. not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. Basically, he's saying, you know what, if I'd have sent you to anybody else besides your own people, they would have repented. Isn't it amazing today? And I make this point because, check this out. Missionaries have now gone to Russia from America and other places, have introduced the Bible in the schools in Russia, and they let them do it. So to see this played out, he's saying, when a nation is not openly rebellious to me, see, Russia is just blind. They're not as much openly rebellious as just blind. God can still work. The sad thing about a nation that has had their eyes open and then hardens their heart, that's open rebellion. And there's a much greater consequence for that. Israel dealt with that many times where God judged them because they knew better and they did it anyway. Mm-hmm. America has a much higher standard of judgment than Russia will.
Yeah.
And that may shock some people. But we have Bibles in every home. We have an understanding of the foundation of our nation. We have a much greater accountability. So now he's dealing with the nation of Israel that had this level of accountability and understanding the word of God, being, you know, having it preserved through their nation. And he sends Ezekiel to them. They've chosen to rebel regardless. They don't want me, even though they know better. He says, verse 7, but the house of Israel will not listen to you. They're not going to listen. I'm going to send you, but they're not going to listen. Okay? Because they won't listen to me. In other words, they're not going to listen to you if you share the Bible with them, because they won't listen to me when I try to reach their heart. So when you have a nation and a governmental system that you try to introduce the Bible in, don't be shocked. If they're not listening to God, they're not going to listen to you as you bring in the word of God, because they've already rejected God, the voice that's speaking to them.
Right.
He says, that's where Israel is. He says, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face, again, supernatural, strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads.
So what does that mean?
Listen to this. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed by their looks, for they are a rebellious house of representatives. Not additive representatives. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, they are a rebellious house. Here's what God is saying. There's a group that's rebelling against me and what I want to do. I'm going to raise somebody up that's going to have just as strong of a rebellion against them. That even when they bring their attacks, it's going to be like your forehead's like flint. It's nothing but sparks are going to fly off of you, Ezekiel, when you do this, because they're in rebellion. And I'm going to make you stand against this onslaught of the whole nation against you. I'll give you the power to do that. Now, look.
Does this sound familiar?
Listen, I'm not making some argument for, again, President Trump being some righteous man. That's not the point at all.
At all, no.
But I personally believe God has made his forehead like flint in the face of what our world needs today and the power that America has.
Yeah.
Because if it turned over at the wrong time with the wrong people in power, you would see this whole end times process take place.
Yeah.
America would lay down its sovereignty. The Antichrist could move right on the scene. The world taking over, one world government, one world religion, one world everything. And I believe that God is using Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump, regardless of their relationships to God.
Right.
He has made their foreheads like flint. And you're watching the sparks fly. And it just doesn't matter, no matter what they throw at him. I mean, he's standing his ground and he's winning. Now, see, that's not normal.
Yeah.
That's why I say what we're watching here is supernatural. I don't know of any other president that could have ever survived this.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think it's him.
No.
I'm not bragging about him. Yeah. I think God Almighty is involved in what he's doing worldwide with the world's greatest power and the nation of Israel.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because we know that Vice President Pence is an outspoken Christian.
Right.
As the Vice President of the United States, no doubt having some influence upon President Trump, whether President Trump is a Christian or not. We don't know. Some
he claims
say
he is. Right.
Say, okay.
The fruit's not the best.
Okay. But Benjamin Netanyahu, as you talked about earlier, he's an unbelieving Jew in terms of not believing in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Believes in the God of the Bible.
Yes.
Well, we can go back in history and look at a world leader who was, we could say, notorious by the name of Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
And Nebuchadnezzar was a tyrant, to say the least,
that's right,
as a world leader. And yet God said that Nebuchadnezzar, who had nothing to do with God, thought he was responsible for all the wonders of the world.
That's right. Took credit for it.
He took credit for it. God
greatest
said...
Greatest kingdom on the planet.
That's
greatest.
Right.
Never
it's great. Everyone says so.
Just kidding.
Everyone says so. God said of Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar was his servant.
That's right. Calls him my servant.
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah. This is a guy that's not praying to God. He's not talking to God. He's not acknowledging God. Right. He's not submitting to God.
Right.
None of those things. But yet God calls him his servant.
That's right.
That gives us a glimpse into the sovereignty of God that is beyond the understanding of man in terms of how authority structure works and submission works.
Yeah, and this is where I want to back the church up and let them look at this, because I remember hearing things people say, well, look, President Trump can't be of God because he's not a godly man. And we kind of debunked that with looking at Samson. Samson was very
ungodly, but
he was God's chosen man and was given supernatural power. So if you understand the Bible, you see it's not about, God doesn't pick guys that float from place to place. God picks the one that he knows he can do what he needs to do for that hour and that moment. And it's God's will that's carried out.
Yes.
And so God raised up Samson. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. I believe God, no doubt, has raised up President Trump. And because what's happening is you have, if you will, in our nation right now, really almost this epic battle of good and evil. You've got people that are pushing great darkness, and they have power in our nation. And God is saying, not yet. Not yet. Now, what I want our listeners to understand is, this is God holding back through politics, whatever you want to call it, holding back the onslaught of the Antichrist. And when God lets that go, I think it's going to be fast. I think it's going to be like a flood. Literally, I've told our people here, this could change overnight. And it could. One election, and it's not, again, not about politics, but one election and the wrong person in power with the right people in power, you could see America just blend right into that whole vision in Daniel chapter 2 of the 10 toes and the feet. One world government saying, you know what, we're going to lay down the sovereignty of our nation. We're going to tear down the borders. We're going to look for it. And all you need is that charismatic leader rising up out of Europe who the whole world is going to look to and say, this guy, not only does he have all the answers, but everybody loves him. And that's what the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to be a guy that has all the answers. Everybody loves him. He's going to just be, have it just, again, it's being held back. And that's what I want our listeners to recognize. God is supernaturally holding this back. Let's pray for God to continue to hold it back until it's his time. And I know he will. His timing's perfect. And what I'm hoping is that the rapture of the church takes place before God lets it go. I don't want to see this guy get into power.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. And again, we won't be here when we see him actually take power in the sense of signing that treaty.
Right.
Because we know that when that treaty's signed, it talks about in Revelation and Daniel, we could actually count the days down to the second coming. And since no one knows the day or the hour, we're going to be gone before that. So we know that.
Let's talk about practically how quickly that can happen. We've talked about this on the show numerous times in 60, 61, 62, 62, 63. I can't remember
when. It was 62, 63, prayer 62, the word 63.
Came out of our public school system.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
We've had several generations since then have come and gone.
Right.
So we have basically a population that's very mixed in terms of what they believe about not just the Bible, but about God, about God's design, about creation, about how we got here, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You have the pervasive push for a globalization through the environmental movement, through quote-unquote climate change, all of these things happening, and we're seeing more and more of the godless fruit in our society.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we as Christians are like salt in the country ham.
Yeah.
We are preservative.
Yeah.
When that salt gets removed through the rapture, that ham is going to rot quickly.
Yeah, you're going to see it go downhill really fast.
So really God using us in that sense to, in part, to hold that tide back. But
we are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
We're what's keeping it from rotting.
And it's not going to take much just to move us out of the way.
That's right.
And it's going to be a free, I mean, we think it's bad now.
Yeah.
When the rapture happens,
take the church out of here.
It's going to be exponentially
worse. Remove
all
light. Remove all light. Now I'm going to pull in real quick, Greg, an article that we don't have in our articles. I added it, so I'm not cheating for next app, but you got to hear this because this was just today.
Just today.
And I wanted to throw this in.
Just in.
This just in. It deals with what you're talking about because this is now Britain as a nation. Listen to what this judge ruled. A judge in Britain ruled the Bible was incompatible with human dignity.
What's the news source on that?
This is WorldNet Daily.
Okay.
But you can look it up. It's from the tribunal, an employment tribunal in the United Kingdom is where it came out of. But the article comes from WorldNet Daily, and it had to do with sexual alternative lifestyles. The tribunal in the United Kingdom has ruled that the biblical doctrine that people are created male and female is incompatible with human dignity. and those who follow it can be fired from their jobs on that basis.
Wow.
The stunning decision came in a doctor's challenge to his dismissal for failing to use female pronouns for a man. Here, let me sum it up. He didn't want to use the wrong pronoun. He's a believer. He knew what the Bible said, so he took it to court because he was fired, and the judge said, you know what? No, the Bible's incompatible with human dignity, so the Bible's wrong, man's right. This is a statement from a judge in a nation that will affect that entire nation, but it's a viewpoint that the world is going toward. That is, the Bible, forget it. What spirit is behind that? Mm. Remember, Satan said, I will be God. So he's going to want to put the Bible behind us. So it goes back to June 17th, 1963, when the Bible was taken out of schools, by the way, my birthday.
Yes.
But I don't think I had anything to do with that, but it did happen to fall on my birthday. But so my
and
job,
that was your birthday.
It was my literal birthday.
Yeah, but,
so it's my job to bring it back. But the bottom line is that what they're saying is this is the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
Do away with the word of God.
Yes.
Do away with prayer. Raise up this Antichrist figure that's going to lead people to worship Satan, if you will, in this world dominance, in this rulership. And right now God is saying, not yet. Not yet. We're holding this thing back. This thing is being held back. It's not President Trump holding it back. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu holding it back. It's God Almighty holding it back. They happen to be the two people that he's put there at this moment, who's basically, their foreheads are like flint. You know, you got the spiritual Flint Eastwood right there, I always say, you know, the sparks
Flint
flying
Eastwood.
Off. Yeah, you know, go ahead and make my world. Anyway, but, you know, God's using him.
Well, and when you see the attack on him as a person, your face would have to be set like Flint in order to endure.
Oh, yeah. There's no human could do that. And remember, the attack, this is a spiritual attack.
Yes.
This is not politics.
No.
It's playing out, and people think it's politics.
It's not.
Believers, put on your spiritual glasses. You've got to rise above the clouds and see what's really going on. We are not battling against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. It's the demonic realm fighting against God's plan. God is ultimately going to win. We know that. But God is holding them back until God says, all right, go for it. And like you said, it's going to be like, bam, it's going to be a flood. It's going to come in quick. This world leader will come on the scene. And then we'll have the 3.5 years of supposed peace and harmony with everybody, this kind of thing. Then you'll have the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And then you have the culmination in Jesus coming back in the second coming and us coming with him. I like what somebody said. You do not want to see the face of Jesus when he comes back.
Mm.
You want to see his back. Because those of us that have been raptured,
right,
we're going to come back with him, see him from behind.
As he's coming down.
If you see him when he's coming, that's the second coming. You missed the rapture. So you want to see his back, not his face.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So anyway, I when you're watching all, I want to encourage our listeners, when you're watching all that's happening in our nation politically, we're a mess. Our nation's a mess. We're a nation that's divided. And the Bible says, what a house divided will not stand. You know, if we don't resolve something as a nation, I think God's going to have to bring judgment at some point on our nation. And I recognize that. But what you need to realize is that you need to be praying for our president. You need to be praying for God's will to be done. It's not about Republican, Democrat. It's not about politics. It is a supernatural spiritual battle. God is holding back the wheels of the Antichrist and what he's going to be doing. And just be aware of it. So you know what's going on. You know, knowing what's going to happen is half the battle, because it takes fear away and you can be used as a testimony and as a witness. And then we just watch for, again, remember, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for the Christ.
The Christ.
That's who we're looking for. He's the one we're going to see when that trumpet sounds. And, you know, it wasn't this year. They just had the Feast of Trumpets last week, right? Here in the last few days. I don't know if you knew that. Rosh Hashanah.
Well, I knew it was going to be at the end of September.
Yeah, we
talked about that.
We just had it.
So we've passed the rapture zone, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, and now we're in the season where they have the three festivals right now. You have Rosh Hashanah, then you have the Day of Atonement, and then you have Feast of Tabernacles. And they're right now kind of all underway, and all these celebrations all have symbolic meaning, which we can't get into now. But exciting times. You know, again, I want to encourage you. Yeah. Don't be discouraged when you see what's going on in the attacks on our president. Be encouraged, because what you're seeing is God is stopping the enemy from doing what he wants to do. And I believe you're going to see the president come out victorious in this. Yeah. And I think you're going to see him reelected, unless we pass that time where it's time to go. What's going to be interesting is after his final 4 years, you know, I'm not saying that means it's it.
Right.
But it is going to be interesting to see what happens, because there's going to be such a flood.
On a global level.
Yes. Against that type of mindset.
Yes. Yes.
That if the right person gets in, it could just be, let's all agree, we are the world. Let's all sing like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Let's get this thing rocking and rolling, and we're done.
Well, we are going to sing We Are the World in our second half, because we've got an article that really accentuates what you're talking about, where there's a push for unity on a global level from a global religious leader.
Interesting.
That will probably be used prophetically as the times go on. And Signs of the Times will go on after we listen to Israel in the News up next.
WIAM-LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Sidelining the UN General Assembly last week, French President Emmanuel Macron brokered a meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, but Iran never showed. According to Politico, the U.S. and Iran had agreed to a four-point document prior to the meeting that would jumpstart negotiations, but Rouhani backed out, insisting that President Trump first agree to lift all reimposed sanctions before any meeting was to take place. So far, no further progress has been made to loop Iran back into negotiations. The United States announced that it will be sending military support to Saudi Arabia following an attack on Saudi oil facilities last month that Saudi and U.S. officials say was engineered by Iran. Fox's Jennifer Griffin reports.
The Pentagon will deploy one Patriot battery, four Sentinel radars, approximately 200 support personnel. The secretary has also approved putting additional forces on prepare to deploy orders. While no decision has been made to deploy these additional forces, they will maintain a heightened state of readiness.
The Times of Israel reports that Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi is blaming Israel for a recent wave of airstrikes targeting Iranian-backed militias in Iraq. The Iranian Shiite Popular Mobilization Forces Militia, or PMF, declared that Prime Minister Abdul Mahdi's claim gives them a green light to retaliate against Israel, according to the Jerusalem Post. Israel has not confirmed its involvement in the attacks, though Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has hinted at the possibility that it has struck in Iraq. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Netanyahu is still negotiating with rival Blue and White Party leader Benny Gantz in an effort to form a new coalition government. Fox's Simon Owen reports.
Benjamin Netanyahu has 6 weeks to try and resolve an impasse in Israeli politics. Following an inconclusive election, the Prime Minister has been selected by Israel's president as the party leader best placed to form a coalition government. But negotiations look challenging. Simon Owen, Fox News.
Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, began at sundown last Sunday. Fox's Eben Brown.
A ram's horn is blasted in remembrance of ancient biblical-era temple worship. Rosh Hashanah is celebrated traditionally with apples and honey, marking a wish for a sweet new year.
Celebrations mark the start of the year 5780 and the Days of Awe, and will conclude with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, next week. This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Learn how you can help needy Jews start a new life in the Holy Land by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, October 4th, 2019, along with Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor at Calvary Knoxville. I'm Greg Hilt. Thanks for staying with us. Whether you're listening live or online or later on our podcast, which is episode 96, we thank you for doing so, and please share this program with a friend, because everyone is watching the same news story, but God has a different editorial take on it. And that's what we're going to get this hour. We talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39 all the time, because that bad boy of a movie theater is getting itself set up for a major production.
It is, man.
It is.
We're on the cusp.
That's right. And one of the producers over there is Iran, who is named as a major player in Ezekiel, them and their buddy Russia.
Yep.
And a top Iranian general is saying destroying Israel is now a an achievable goal.
Yeah,
well, how about that?
Amazing. First of all, I'm going to read some of this. First of all, not. God says he will not allow them. It's amazing to see what man thinks. Isn't it good to know we know who's in control? They cannot destroy Israel. As a matter of fact, they're going to be destroyed. Listen to some of this article. But they're getting bold because their military is getting stronger. The problem is it's the arm of man rather than the arm of God, which Israel has. The commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard said Monday that destroying arch-rival Israel has become an achievable goal, as you said, Greg, due to his country's technological advances. And I quote, "This sinister regime must be wiped off the map, and this is no longer a dream, but it is an achievable goal." Major General Hassan Salami with bread and mayo said,
I knew that was coming.
Quoted by, yes, there it is. Thank you, Shecky. Quoted by the Guard's Safaf news site. 4 decades on from Iran's Islamic Revolution, he said, "We have managed to obtain the capacity to destroy the imposter Zionist regime." You know, it's okay to laugh. God laughs at him.
Yeah.
Salami's comments, while not unusual, and you'll never hear that the same. Let me say it differently. Salami's. I'm just trying to get it. Anyway, Salami's
maybe
comments.
His press secretary, Pepperoni, should really just, do the speaking just, for
now
him.
Let me slice his comments up here.
Right, okay.
While not unusual for the Iranian officials, come amid particular heightened... We've ruined the article.
I know. But go ahead and finish
it. Everybody follow me. This is real. There's a real guy here, and this is really happening. Comes amid particularly heightened international tensions over Iran's nuclear program and a series of incidents that have raised fears of a confrontation between Tehran and its arch rival, main regional rival, Riyadh. Now, the bottom line is, before we go to the next one, because it's going to tie right into this.
Yeah.
And maybe we should. Should we tie it in?
Well, yeah, I will. I'm going to tie it in through another prophecy, but go ahead.
All right. Because what I was going to say is, look, here's the bottom line. Iran thinks they're going to wipe Israel out. The Bible tells us the opposite will happen. God is going to supernaturally wipe out Iran. And by the way, he's going to wipe out Russia's army with them. Ezekiel chapter 38, it says that Iran and Russia and some other major countries around there, Sudan and my mind's blank. It'll hit me in a second. 5 major countries and others gathering around them are going to all come together, and God is going to supernaturally intervene and wipe them all out. And get this, 5/6 of this invading army is going to be annihilated. That is a massive destruction, and it's going to be so obviously God that it's going to cause Israel to turn back toward their Messiah, and we're going to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and then believing in Jesus Christ. It's going to be an amazing event.
If you're new to the program, what we're doing is we're not talking about if Bible prophecy is going to happen. What we've been doing for the last 10 or 12 years is chronicling how it's going to happen.
That's right.
And one of the things that happened several years ago was the beginning of the civil war in Syria.
Right.
And Bashar al-Assad trying to stay in power and all that kind of stuff. And then it became this giant political military soap opera. Our focus on this program when that was happening was the prophecy of Isaiah 17:1,
right,
and the destruction of Damascus.
Which is coming. Yeah.
However, what's interesting, as we chronicle the world's news and see Bible prophecy being fulfilled, our eyes were not on Ezekiel at that time in terms of how Iran was going to do what they're claiming this next article says they've done.
Right.
But they couldn't have done it if not for Syria.
Yeah. And it all has to be in place.
Yeah. And so it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And it hit me as I'm looking at this, because this article that we're going to talk about next from J-Post, Revolutionary Guard's commander is saying that Iran has encircled Israel from all sides.
Yeah.
That could not have happened if Syria hadn't happened.
Right.
And we're all looking at Isaiah 17:1 and not thinking, oh, this is a door opening for Iran to come in. And sure enough, they came walking in.
Isn't it amazing? And you know what? This is not the first time Israel's been surrounded on all sides, even in modern history, and
God has
wiped out their enemies. Here it goes again. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard's top commander threatened Israel, warning against an Israeli attack on Iran. They reported Saturday. He says, if Israel makes a strategic mistake, it has to collect bits and pieces of Tel Aviv from the lower depths of the Mediterranean. This is such
braggadocious
nonsense.
Yes.
These guys are going to be so shocked. As reported in the Radio Free Europe, he added, Israel is not in a position to threaten Iran, and that Iran has encircled Israel from all sides. Nothing will be left of Israel in case of a conflict between the two countries. It's so wrong. The commander also commented on the confrontation between Israel and Iranian forces and proxies of Lebanon and Syria. He says, we will perceive any mistake in the region as an involvement in a war in the whole region. Any action to start a war in the region will flare up a fire that will burn those who have started in the war. And again, this is something they always do, though. The enemies of Israel always brag in these just very braggadocious ways. And the Bible says that he who sits in the heavens will laugh at them. And when they make their move, God will stand up and God will defeat them. By the way, it is Libya, Sudan, and Turkey. There's the other three. So you have them and Iran and Russia. Yeah. They're the five major countries that will come in this attack. Yeah. But there's going to be others with them involved in that. But when they do this, again, five, six of their armies wiped out, and the whole world is going to go, oh, my goodness, this was supernatural. Yeah. They're going to know.
Yeah, turkey and salami in there, and you've got
quite
a sandwich.
Oh, see, there it is. Sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Told you we were going to sing We Are the World.
That's right. I forgot this part of the rotation.
Well, but here's what's interesting. This next article could be one world government, one world economy, and one world religion.
Yeah.
And the reason why we have those three categories is because Revelation tells us there's going to be a one world economy,
yes,
a one world religion, and a one world government.
Yep.
But I just picked the religion part because there was something in the article that said that he didn't mention a one world government, but yet it's all leading to that. So anyway,
absolutely.
DailyWire.com reporting that Pope Francis has invited all the political leaders from the world to sign a global pact.
Yeah.
What is he trying to do?
Well, just note this. Even before I read any of this, just note this. This globalism effort that is happening in our governments and the largest religion in the world with the largest religious leader in the world. Again, I just want to remind our listeners, this is exactly what the Bible says will happen. We're not making this up. We're not, you know, this is stuff. If you can't read your Bible and read the newspaper and see them line up, you don't have the right prophetic viewpoint. But when you can read your Bible and read the newspaper and go, these things are one and the same, you know you're on the right page. Further signaling his acceptance of globalism during an age of increased nationalism, Pope Francis has now invited leaders to sign a global pact to create a new humanism. And again, remember, get God out.
The
word humanism, the whole point is, it's on man.
Right.
The global event set to take effect. Get this. This is amazing. Check the day. Did the day grab you, Greg? The global event set to take place at the Vatican on May 14th.
Oh, that's Israel's statehood anniversary,
isn't
it? That's
the day that God gave rebirth to the nation of Israel after 2,000 years out of the land.
Wow.
May 14th, 1948.
That's not a coincidence.
Did he pick this day, or is this blind spiritual overtaking?
Blind spiritual overtaking.
May 14th, 2020 is when they're going to do this. The day Israel was reborn, which was a day that God was a prophetic fulfillment of God saying, will a nation be born in a day? And they were.
And they
May
were.
14th,
yes.
1948. Yeah. And it's themed Reinventing the Global Educational Alliance. The Pope is inviting representatives of the main religions, international organizations, and various humanitarian institutions, as well as key figures from world politics, economics, and academia, and prominent athletes, scientists, and sociologists, a smattering of all the representatives of the world, if you will, to sign a global pact on education so as to hand on to younger generations a united and fraternal common home. Listen, interpretation, a one world just unified as one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, remember,
what
that sounds great on the surface. Yeah. I mean, unity, one world, but when you realize that we're all being corralled into this one world theme so that Satan can rule over it, now you see how insidious.
Well, and put that on the timeline, the prophecy timeline, Pastor Mark.
Right.
Should we not be alerted to the fact of this more greater push for a global unity?
It's
because
all global
again,
now.
Basically all of this has to be ready to be handed to the guy who's going to step forward and
That's right.
The world leader, because his time is going to be short.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time to unite the world and work on a one world economy and
That's
government
right.
and religion. No. That's got to all be in place for him to walk in, grab the scepter, and rule.
That's
from
a great
day
point.
One.
That's a great point, Greg. You're right. It has to all be ready for him just to walk on stage and take over.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have time to form all this. And that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, we're watching the stage be set.
Yeah.
LifeSite News noted that Pope Francis issued a strikingly secular message.
Shocking.
On the pact that contained, listen to this, there's only one reference to God in the whole thing. And yet he quoted Hillary Clinton and said it takes a village.
Oh my.
To raise a child.
Wow.
The global pact will result in men and women who are open, responsible, prepared to listen, dialogue and reflect with others, and capable of weaving relationships with families, generations, civil society, and thus to create a new humanism, said Pope Francis. And I list the way he says this.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
The Pope's, he added, the alliance must be formed, and I quote, between the Earth's inhabitants and our common home, which we are bound to care for and respect. Before the challenges of our time, there are those who propose and work for a single global government. That is the elimination of individual national governments. So that, listen, this I'm quoting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that all of humanity would be under the control of a single political authority, said Burke, who was referring to what the Pope had said. The Pope didn't. Now, Burke said that. Pope didn't. Yeah. He's making a point. This is what the Pope's working on.
Right.
For those who are convinced that the only way to achieve the common good is the concentration of all government in a single authority, loyalty to one's homeland or patriotism has become evil.
Wow.
Now, listen, I'm telling you, if you didn't...
If you did not have the Bible...
If you didn't, and even if you have a Bible and you didn't have this article and didn't see what the Pope's doing, you would think, man, those Bible guys are making this up to make it look like the Bible's really happening. It's really happening.
It's really happening.
It's really happening. Let's wake up. Let's be on our toes. You know, remember the Lord said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. We're seeing the beginning of it.
Wow.
It's time to look up.
All right, a couple of church articles. Well, this is interesting.
Pass the nachos.
There's a professor that says robot priests are more acceptable to Protestants than Catholics. What is this all about?
I think it's my last pastor, actually.
Okay.
A robot priest.
Oh, my.
Can AI create better priests? Are we prepared to worship via machines rather than fallible humans? A Villanova University professor believes in post-human priesthood has its advantages. Now, we'll tie this into Signs of the Times
phones.
In a moment.
Yeah, okay.
He says, our faith is in almost everything is being tested these days. Everything's instant, yet nothing seems real. The news is apparently as fake as the people that take it on, yet we're desperate to believe in someone or even something that will give our lives meaning. For many, though, perhaps a dwindling number, religion provides answers or merely some comfort. Step into a church, you hope to be embraced by values and celestial guidance. Somehow, though, suspicion about God's human alleged intermediaries has grown. That is, people don't trust the pastors anymore, is what he's saying.
Ah.
I was moved, therefore, by an article in Vox that explored the notion that religion will be transformed by artificial intelligence. Again, I already saw this Buddhist robot who comes in. He's called Mindar. He offers wisdom to worshipers, and it's this robot that they're going in there and they're worshiping and all this. And what they're saying is that now churches are becoming more open to this mindset. And Christian leaders are, for this reason, it's somebody you can trust.
Wow.
The computer's not going to commit adultery. The computer's not going to steal church money. The computer's not going to lie to the people.
Huh.
So just put the Bible in it.
Except for who programmed it.
Yeah. I mean, again, put in there what you want, and then you show up, and it's like, again, to me, how plastic, how fake.
Wow.
Now, but why is this interesting to me? Again, remember, all of these articles need to tie back into world prophecy, end times, signs of the times. What does it say the Antichrist is going to do on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem at the 3.5-year point at the beginning of the Great Tribulation? He will set up an image of himself that will speak to the nations.
Mm.
It won't be him. It'll be an image.
Yes.
It might be a robot. It might be a hologram.
Good
it might
point.
Be whatever. But
yeah.
Literally, you said the stage has to be set. Once religion accepts... Okay, we can receive from God by something that's not really the person, right? So once that's accepted, now he sets up this thing and says, you know what? I'm going to be all over the world. I'll be traveling. I'm doing all kinds of world things. I'm the world ruler. I'll just send messages to my whatever, this image that's going to be there on the Temple Mount, and I'll speak from that image to the world. You guys can always keep up with what's going on. I think that's what's going to happen. And why do I find it interesting that he sets his image up on the Temple Mount? Because that's the very place Jesus' throne will be. And remember, he's trying to replace Jesus.
Yes.
Antichrist doesn't just mean against.
It means instead of.
Instead of. He's against, but he's also the instead of Christ. He's trying to take Jesus' position. Oh, Jesus is going to be on the Temple Mount ruling on the throne? No, I am. And here's my image. And it's almost like God in your face. The Lord will allow it for a short amount of time, and then boom,
wow.
It's done. So again, I think we're being prepped and prepared for the imagery of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation.
ChristianPost.com is reporting that Hindu radicals have live-streamed an attack on Christians in order to make an area free of Christianity. What's this all about?
Yeah, and I want to tie this into Signs of the Times as well. Again, Indian authorities jailed church leaders and their families after Hindu extremists disrupted a worship service, beat individuals, and live-streamed it on Facebook to rid the area of Christians. According to a persecution watchdog, dozens of assailants from the youth militant group Bajrang Dal reportedly intruded into the church service and began verbally abusing congregants before tearing up Bibles, breaking church supplies, and stealing the offering box. I just want to make a quick comment on this, Greg, and that is this. Look, this has gone on since the beginning of the church, persecution. Yeah. This is not in and of itself a sign of the times. But the reason I left this in here to bring up in the signs of the times is the Bible says as we get closer to the end, you're going to see more and more of this. You're going to see greater persecution against the Jews. You're going to see greater persecution against Christians. And what many Christians may not realize, those of you that have studied church history, you know all the horrendous things that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
There have been more Christians are being persecuted now than ever in world history. Many people don't know that. They think, well, you read all these stories and these horrible things and think, no, it was worse in Rome. No. More Christians died between 1901 and the end of the 1900s. In that 100-year period, more Christians were put to death for their faith than all of the persecution in world history combined in 100-year period. It's only increasing. And unless you know the statistics, you don't know that. We are living in an ever-increasing persecution. We don't see it in America because we're protected. We're in this bubble of friendliness toward Christianity at this time.
For now.
One election, it can all change. We've said it, and it's going to at some point happen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to end our program on some good news. The first article is from Fox News, where we see that Iran has the world's fastest growing church, despite no buildings.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
And it's mostly led by women. Is this a Deborah situation?
Yeah, it really is. You know, praise God for the Deborahs of the world. You know, again, we think about God raising men up for ministry, but when you know there aren't men to raise up and put in that, God raises strong and mighty women up. And we're seeing the women of Iran being raised up because, you know, and again, I want to say this in all fairness, it would be hard to be a strong Christian as a man in Iran because you know you're basically signing your death certificate. I'm not making excuse for that.
No,
I'm saying I understand
true.
How
yeah.
hard it would be.
Yeah.
But God is raising up godly women there in what they're calling the fastest growing church in the world. Iranian protesters, it says, assemble outside the United Nations General Assembly to praise President Trump and call for the UN to enact regime change in Iran as Britain, France, and Germany have joined the United States in blaming Iran for attacks on key facilities in Saudi Arabia. A new film tells the story of the fastest growing church in the world. Now, that may have just been the caption for the picture above. I hope I didn't just read that because I just used text here, so I apologize if I did. But a new film, this may be the start of the article. A new film tells the story of the fastest growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for exporting radical Islamic terrorism, Iran. People in Iran, a Muslim-majority nation, are fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow the knee to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel. Now, stop for a moment.
I know. I'm trying to put that in my
mind.
Listen,
this is when you know someone is born again. When you see a Muslim not only get saved, but standing with Israel,
yeah,
that's a supernatural event.
Supernatural.
Because they have been raised from childhood to hate the Jews, kill the Jews, destroy the Jews. The Jews are the problem. This is supernatural. You know, you've heard me share this before, Greg. I was really neutral about the Jews when I was unsaved. I didn't think about it. But when I got saved, suddenly I loved them.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do I suddenly love Israel so much? Why do I love the Jews? And as I began to study the word, I realized that's God doing this.
Yeah.
Because God puts a love in our heart, even for the unbelieving Jew, because they are the ones he's made his promises to, and they are the future family. They're our future family, so to speak, because God's going to bring them into the kingdom. Anyway, he says, what if I told you that mosques are empty inside Iran? He continues. What if I told you that one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? This is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran. The pastor goes on, and this is a pastor sharing all this. What if I told you the best evangelist for Jesus was the Ayatollah Khomeini? The Ayatollah, here's
I
why.
Believe it.
Listen, what he said, here's why. The Ayatollahs brought the true face of Islam to light, and the people have discovered Islam was a lie. After 40 years under Islamic law, a utopia, according to them, they've had the worst devastation in the nation in its 5,000-year history. More Iranians have come to faith in Jesus in the last 20 years than the 1,300 years since Islam swept through Persia combined. The bottom line is God's doing a last days rescue and bringing people into the church.
Yeah.
Thomas calls the movement the Iranian Awakening. It owns no property, no buildings, no central leadership, and it is predominantly led by women, he said in a statement. So it's the underground house churches. Named after the Bible verse, Matthew 10:16, which says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And boy, that's what they're dealing with in Iran.
Yeah.
So here's what the command is to the Iranians, us too, but think about living in Iran. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. The documentary claims Muslim background Iranians are leading a quiet but mass exodus out of Islam and bowing their knees to the Jewish Messiah with kindled affection toward the Jewish people. Now, I got to make another comment about this, Greg. I believe signs of the times, last day is God bringing the people in.
Right.
But remember what God said he would do to the Jews with the Gentiles. He would make them
stir a jealousy.
He would make them jealous.
Yeah.
Listen, if you live in Israel and you're a Jew and you don't love your God or the God of the Bible, and you see people who used to hate you in a nation that wants to destroy you saying, not only do we now love your God, we love you, you're going to be going, what's this about? It's our God.
Yeah.
Get your hands off my... There's going to be a jealousy here, and God's going to use this jealousy, I believe. I think he's using it now to prep the Jews for when God pours out his spirit on the nation. So it's exciting to watch God doing all these things behind the scenes. Everything's getting ready, and when it's time to move, God's going to move.
Unbelievable.
I love it. Exciting. I love it. I love it. Yes, it's exciting.
All right, our last article comes from ChristianHeadlines.com, where this article is about a photo that went viral of a young man praying over a police deputy.
Yeah, we've had a couple
Do
of these.
Tell.
We've had a couple of these. This is not so much Signs of the Times articles as like we
it's
said.
It's just good news.
Yeah, we want it. We always had all the, you know, everything's going to plagues and disease and earthquakes and volcanoes.
And
now have a great week. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
So now we're trying to end.
Go out in the joy of the Lord.
That's right. With happy things. Listen to what it says. A photo of a young man. Well, you read that. The photo posted to Facebook by the deputy's wife features the man putting his hand on the deputy's shoulder while both of their heads are bowed. The deputy's wife, Justin Tucker, said that while eating dinner at Zaxby's, the young man named Juan approached the table and asked to pray for the deputy's safety. At the time of this writing, the post has been liked more than 48,000 times, or people, and shared more than 24,000 times with over 4,000 comments. And I quote, "Tonight was a night that I'll never forget. The picture is a reminder of God's constant love and perfect timing," Justin wrote. "Tonight we had an amazing encounter with an incredible young man named Juan. He came to came up to Cameron and asked if he could pray over him for his protection. After crying my eyes out, we got to have an amazing conversation with this gentleman," she continued. She later noted that Juan was on fire for God and you could feel his presence in the room. Juan said he had felt compelled to talk to us and pray over Cameron. Commenters praised the young man and the deputy. And it goes on talking about this. "Thank you, young man, and all you who have prayed. And all of you who pray for anyone, but especially for our first responders," said the woman. "My husband has been in law enforcement for almost 25 years. And in our world, we know the only true protection we have is the power of prayer. And that is, of course, God." What's so awesome about that, Greg, there's two things that have happened here recently. The other one is, this is one I'm throwing in as well. I'm not going to read the article, just the headline. You can look it up on your own. "Brother of a man killed by ex-cop forgives her, the killer, in a courtroom scene."
Maybe that was just happened here in Texas.
A lady who was a policeman went in the wrong apartment. She thought a man who was in her apartment. She shot the man, killed the man. He ended up being a very nice Christian man that she killed. He had a very nice Christian brother, and the Christian brother told her at the end of the court trial where she was given 10 years in prison that he forgave her and he loved her. He asked the judge if he could hug her. The judge let him hug her. Then the judge gave her a Bible. The lady that was convicted of the 10 years gave her a Bible while this guy said, "You need to give your life to Christ." It's like this church service broke out there in the courtroom. Not only is this good news, but this again shows that God is now showing himself and his love to our nation, which is an encouraging thing nationwide. We're seeing God saying, "Here's my love. Here's how I operate." The question is, how will we as a nation respond?
Yeah.
Which leads me to this. How will you respond to what you're hearing today? If you're a believer, I hope you're getting excited about the fact we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. If you're not a believer, what are you going to do with all this? You see what the Bible says is going to happen. You hear the articles of how it's taking place. You know that Jesus died for you on the cross, spilled his blood for your sin, rose again 3 days later. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? I want to give you an opportunity right now. I invite you. If you want to do that, right where the now if you're in your car, pull over first. But anyway, wherever you are, confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Tell him that you believe he died for you on the cross and spilled his blood, that Jesus Christ did that for you, if you do that and turn from your sin, the word repent means turn from it, the Bible says you will be born again and you'll be invited into the kingdom of God. And what a great way to finish your afternoon, and that is receiving Jesus Christ and having eternal life in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to give you another thing. So if you don't know the Bible and you're a new believer and you prayed that prayer or about to pray it now, all these things we're talking about prophetically, you're going to miss the worst of it if you believe in Jesus, because the Bible says the rapture of the church will take place. The Lord's going to descend from the heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, yank us out of here. We're going to have a huge party in heaven while God deals with the earth, and we're all coming back to rule and reign. We want you to be a part of the family and a part of his kingdom. So there's your invitation. I hope you respond to it.
A great one too, Pastor Mark. Thank you so much. Folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget our website, thesigns.org. You can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is @prophecyhelp. Follow us online all the time, and we will be back next Friday at 1:30 to continue to look and see how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's word as signs of the times.